Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts that focuses...
No, we're not. We're covering Conor McGregor.
Sorry, we're just going to talk about Conor McGregor.
Who the bleep are you to cover anything that's not me?
Please tell me you're going to do this from now till November 12th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any more UFCs. I think they cancel all of them in between at this point.
Yes, they just put everything on hold. It has been already an insane week. If you missed the press conference, it was on Fight Pass. You can see it on YouTube. I certainly think you should spend the 28 minutes watching it because...
Was that only 28 minutes? Yeah. Because it seems like hours of fun.
It should have been hours of fun, but it was only 28 minutes before they did the square-offs with Conor McGregor being asked all of the questions. I think the greatest tweet this week was from Yoel Romero, where he tweeted out, "I'd be waiting for questions like," because nobody asked him any questions at all.
All we know that Conor was there. We know that Alvarez was there, and we know there was some guy with a beer in the back.
Yes. Jeremy Stevens. Not,
whatever with the name. Look, Jeremy Stevens is trying to ride in this train. I don't blame him for trying to get on, but that was a bad day to try. That was a bad day to try to get on the train.
It was.
Was Conor at his best as he's ever been in those things? And he's been great in a lot of them.
I certainly think that this was his shining moment as far as press conferences go, because he was the opposite of what Weidman was. And obviously Weidman in that room was a hero because he was one of the guys, and Frankie Edgar too, but Weidman was really the face of the UFC getting this thing passed. So he's on the card because he was a part of getting the MSG. So he was treated like a hero, but I mean,
Conor was treated like a hero.
The king was the king in this particular instance, and everybody asked questions to him, and I think they were being polite by asking Alvarez any questions.
Well, what was kind of interesting too is there seems to be two camps. People love McGregor or they hate what he does. I may be the only person on the planet that sometimes I get a little sick of him, but then other times I love him, because it's usually either or, right? And I was a little miffed during some of the Diaz stuff. I love this one. And maybe for me, it's that whole thing like, hey, look, if you're going to take a swing, the guy's going to defend himself. And this whole thing really didn't get started in the way it did until Eddie Alvarez decided during one of the questions to tell Conor to be careful. Conor obviously took a little bit of exception to that. Here's a little bit of the first exchange during that presser between Eddie Alvarez and Conor McGregor.
I've nothing against.
Careful. Be careful.
I've nothing against Edward. Oh, whoa. Oh, whoa.
Careful.
What
Edward.
You gonna do? Oh, whoa. You gonna do something over there?
Be careful.
Shut your f***ing mouth. I run New York. I run this whole s***. And Mystic Mac predicts I'm gonna KO you inside one round.
That audience is going insane. You can hear it cracking everybody's mic because the audience gets so loud when Conor starts saying that he runs the town, and New York's all in, like, yeah, Conor runs us, bro. We love it.
Never mind that the entire stage is filled with people who live in New York.
They live, they breathe New York, they're from New York, and Conor McGregor's taking ownership, and the crowd absolutely loves it. It's amazing to see this crowd, this stage, and what Conor McGregor is going to be able to do with it. I said last week on the show, you made fun of me over and over again. Let's wait until we get the real card. We got the real card now.
Yeah, and boy, did you get a real card. This is if it holds together, this is the best card that they have done in probably...
Since 200.
Probably 8 years, probably. I would not say
really?
Since 200.
200, Brock? Light heavyweight championship? Almost, but Anderson Silva instead?
Almost, but Anderson Silva instead? No, I don't think that holds a candle to this.
No, not a candle. Okay. Is it because of the Conor McGregor hype train? Is it champion versus champion?
Well,
what is it that... And again, there's great fights on this card. I'm not going to lie about that.
So I think you certainly have the Mystic Mac-ness that surrounds this thing, and this becomes a much different event. This becomes exactly what you wanted UFC 200 to be. So when Diaz and McGregor are fighting, they're kind of like on an island, right?
Okay.
They're not on giant stacked cards. Now you've got McGregor fighting Alvarez on the same card that we're finally getting Woodley and Wonder Boy, on the same card that Jindrzejczyk's on the same card that Weidman makes a return on the same card that Frankie Edgar is on. I just think, if you can keep that together.
Nurmagomedov is on this card, too, who we kept putting into a title fight, yes. Essentially. He thinks he got played a little bit here. We'll talk about that later in the show.
Yeah, so he's on with Michael Johnson. And
Misha Tate's there.
The card is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Tim Kennedy, who a lot of people wanted to see fight for the championship. Obviously, we've had a lot of things change as they've tried to get this MSG card off the ground. What's interesting, too, about this fight, Eric, is what happens if Conor McGregor beats Eddie Alvarez? What is left for him in a little bit of the exchange with Jeremy Stephens. He basically talks about that, and then he throws Money's name out there again.
Oh, good one. When I take that guy's belt, I'm looking around. I don't know what anyone else has for me around here. I might have to jump up and drag Floyd Mayweather out of bed and see what the he's at again.
Oh, boy. Here's the Money Mayweather talk again. If Conor McGregor beats Eddie Alvarez, is that a real thing? Because Mayweather gave him credit for the presser.
Yes.
Said he's basically biting my style, and I'm good with that. He's making his money. Does he want to make some money with Conor McGregor?
I don't know the answer to that, and I would say that Eddie Alvarez, and feel free at Twitter or Facebook to disagree with me, I would say Eddie Alvarez, of the top five lightweights, is the easiest for Mac to fight.
You think so?
I think Ferguson's more dangerous. I think Nurmagomedov's more dangerous.
Nurmagomedov's a dangerous dude, but I mean... Eddie Alvarez, he's the champ.
Please,
he's the easiest guy out of the five.
Please re-sign up for Fight Pass.
Okay.
Then go back and watch that fight.
Loan me $10 and I'll go watch that fight again. Easiest, I guess I'll give you. I'm not giving it to you, but at least I don't think you're insane.
Here's what I mean by this, is that RDA got goaded into what Alvarez wanted him to do, which was get in a scrap.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think Conor has learned enough from the Diaz duopoly that he's not going to fall for that. And as I said, after he beat Diaz the first time in the second fight,
mm-hmm.
I really don't know at the lower classes, what are people going to do to him to surprise him? Is Eddie Alvarez going to hit harder than Nate Diaz? Is that a real thing? Jeremy Stephens may hit harder. Michael Johnson may hit harder. I don't know that Eddie Alvarez hits harder.
Nurmagomedov may hit harder.
But Nurmagomedov's threat is he's going to throw you in the air and powerbomb you on the mat.
Right.
That's the scarier part, because that is not McGregor's core competency, is wrestling against somebody like Nurmagomedov.
So Eddie Alvarez being called out by not only Eric, but also by members of the crowd. Did you see this during the
this
event?
This is my favorite thing.
Do we know if this was a journalist or just a dude?
The story is it's a dude who snuck up the five rows, had a tie on. And
nice.
He's got a tie on. He's got to be
clipboard and tie, ladies
MMA
and gentlemen.
Journalist.
I don't know what you want to do in your life, but whatever it is, you can get in with a clipboard and a tie. That's all you need. Maybe fervent stares at a cell phone, too, as if there's something
as
very important happening.
Somebody's telling you that you need to get somewhere.
Where's your clipboard and did you put your tie on? Perhaps you're reading that text. You can be anywhere. This is how it goes with what turns out to be a fan altercation between Eddie Alvarez and an alleged reporter. And I love the fact...
A reporter from ConorMcGregor.com.
Well, Conor loves this dude.
You've been mentioning that Conor McGregor is not a championship fighter. He only has 2 to 3 rounds. Yet in your professional career, you've only went to the fifth round twice and lost one of them. What the f*** are you talking about? What are you talking about? That's the champ!
I love it.
That's the champ right there!
As soon as I tell
what's
you
your question?
With that. I love it.
My question was clearly, you've only been to the fifth round twice in your professional career and lost one of them. You're complaining that he has no gas.
His question is, why are you talking
about?
That's his question. How the f*** you up there talking shit? Say it like it is. You're blessed. You're blessed that I chose you. You're blessed that I chose to whoop your ass next. Say it like it f***ing is.
You were the easiest opponent that made the most money. That's the truth.
Come prove it.
You were my easiest opponent that made the most money.
Come prove
That's
it.
That's why you were picked.
I could buy and sell
That's
your whole f***ing town. I could buy and sell your whole bum town. Prove it.
Oh, boy. I'm all in on what Conor's doing right here. Now, what's kind of interesting in that exchange is the fan called out the fact that Eddie Alvarez was saying he's not necessarily championship metal. A lot of times we talk about that as going into the championship rounds. Again, the fan is right. He's done his research, so that's how we know perhaps he's not an MMA media member. And that Eddie's only done that twice in his career, and he lost one of those fights. But it's also interesting to hear Eddie say, you're the easiest opponent for the most money, which with your line of logic earlier talking about Conor McGregor and that top five in the division, maybe that's true even for Eddie Alvarez.
It's for sure. I mean,
is Conor his easiest opponent if you talk about the top five of that division other than RDA, who he just beat?
Well, so in his career, before we even get to the top five, he lost to Donald Cerrone and lost to Michael Chandler over in Bellator. So it's not as if he is unblemished at lightweight.
No.
Or unbeatable in the way that I think we'd talk about Nurmagomedov, right? Nurmagomedov still has this mysticism around him. And yeah, he's been injured. And, you know, let's be honest, he's got to get to the fight first before we know what's going to be next for Nurmagomedov. But if we look at the top five, as it's pulling up here.
Top five in what division? Lightweight?
We're going to look into lightweight.
It's Habib, it's RDA, it's Tony Ferguson, Nate Diaz is still in there, and I think Barboza rounds out the top five.
Yeah, so I think he beat Nate Diaz. I think Edson Barboza, I think Michael Johnson's a better test than Edson Barboza for both of those guys. I think if you're Eddie Alvarez, you are scared to death of Ferguson, you're scared to death of Nurmagomedov, and honestly, when we talk about John Jones and Cormier, it's the first time John Jones has had a rematch, you've got to be nervous at a guy who's already done 3 minutes with you. I know you beat him, you KO'd him, but when they kind of know what you're, to go back to the formula to beat Ronda, when you get in there with a guy and your champion, like, RDA is no joke. I don't think he's a terrible fighter because he lost one fight, and that happened to be a fight where he had a belt. And if he's got the championship medal, I think he's a guy that goes back to the drawing board and sees what he did wrong and understands what Alvarez does well and combats against it. So I don't disagree that for both of them, it's the easiest fight at lightweight. But if Conor McGregor beats Eddie Alvarez, which I think he will on November 12th, Nurmagomedov, if he's healthy, and Ferguson, I think, are the two most dangerous human beings in the lightweight division.
Now, when we talk about the lightweight division, we have to talk specifically about this championship, and you sound like you're making your pick. We'll do official picks, obviously, as we get closer to the event and figure out what's going on there. We're really close at this point, considering we're just getting our first big presser. We're, what, 6 weeks out?
Yeah, well, I mean, but they've got what was the, I don't know if you watched the presser, but afterwards they ran their feature.
Yeah.
And at the end of the feature, I think it's like it said 17 events between now and...
Yeah, there's a lot still. There's a lot still, but I mean, this is the one we care about at this point.
Sure.
I almost forgot about Henderson Bisbing. I almost forgot about that.
October 8th.
That's what we've got that a week from tomorrow. And then is there anything else in there that you care about as much? There's not a chance in hell.
No, I don't.
As much.
I don't think so. I mean, but when we're talking about the lightweight...
You know not.
Yeah, 100%. But when we're talking about the lightweight division, you have Oliveira and Brooks this weekend, which is a huge fight for Will Brooks coming out of Bellator, beating Ross Pearson in his first UFC fight. In the flyweight division, you've got Lineker and Dodson this weekend. Bantamweight division, you've got Lineker and Dodson, and they're going to figure out who's going to take on Dominic Cruz. You've got some interesting fights, but to put a fine point on the Ken Evans philosophy on bantamweight, flyweight, and perhaps featherweight, depending on who's fighting, but bantamweight and flyweight specifically, this is on Fox Sports 1 in Portland. We're in the United States. It doesn't start till 11 p.m. So clearly they know that you don't care.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, whatever. So let's go back to the card we care about.
Yes.
So, because I want to talk about this title picture a little bit more, because initially we heard that Dana White was going to require Conor McGregor to relinquish a belt if he beats Eddie Alvarez. Like, hey, you can have this fight, but you've got to give up a belt.
Mean like his brown belt or like...
No, one of the championship
belts. A dress
belt
that he has.
I'm sorry, you one of those guys that demands I call it a championship?
No, I was just kidding. You just
sorry,
said like,
Vince McMahon.
You just said like a belt, like he could just go to his
well,
closet
maybe that.
And be like, here's a snakeskin belt I will gladly give you, Mr. White.
I joke because Vince McMahon gets mad when his announcers call championships belts, so I thought you were harassing me about that.
No, I don't know.
Like you not, and Vince can
I'm
kiss
not,
my ass right now.
I'm not in the gorilla position screaming at you about lexicon.
So he has to give up one of the two championships, the 145-pound title or the 155-pound title. Originally, that's what was stated.
What?
Earlier this week, White made an amendment and said if McGregor were to win in New York, he'd become the first UFC fighter in history to hold two belts, two separate weight classes simultaneously, and he won't be allowed to keep both belts. So... he didn't have to give up the 145-pound belt. Now he may have to give up one of them, but Conor says, no, I'm not going to do that. And the thing that we're going to kind of roll into here with this type of line of thinking is the fact that McGregor has been calling his shots in a way that no other fighter really has in the past couple years.
Sure.
More so than even John Jones, more so than Anderson Silva, more so than any of these superstars that have been carrying the division. So you have to wonder, when he says, I'm going to wrap one up on one shoulder, I'm going to wrap one up on the other, and they're going to need an effing army to come take the belts off me, if that just isn't Conor McGregor saying, hey, if I win them both, I keep them both. And obviously you start knocking the dominoes down and you got fighters saying, that's it. I want out. If Conor's not going to fight and he's not going to defend the belt, I want out, because you've got people in these divisions, including Jose Aldo, who's your interim champion. He's got one of those fake belts and he's running around. He says he wants out of the UFC now. Now, obviously, everybody's negotiating all the time. Dude's not going to get out of the UFC if he's got a contract. But what do you think about that fact that maybe Conor McGregor holds two belts at the same time, doesn't relinquish either of them?
I don't believe for a second he's going to relinquish either of them, although I agree with Aldo. And I was saying this on Facebook as it blew up, like, you know, there were people on our page, there were people on other pages going, I can't feel bad for Jose Aldo. Yes, you can, because let me explain why. Jose Aldo beats Frankie Edgar, becomes the interim champion. Then, for whatever reason, gets overlooked for this fight in New York, and instead gets offered Max Holloway to fight with the interim championship belt. So he now has to put his interim belt, essentially the only thing in the UFC that secures that you get a title shot,
yes,
because you have the other part of the title.
Yeah.
Put that on the line against a dangerous fighter in Max Holloway.
Yeah, the next guy in the division that you haven't beat. He's number three right now in the division.
You know, so that was what they offered him. And as I said on Facebook, he lost to Conor McGregor, then won his
title
shot back. And he's the only former champion currently in the UFC that has not been granted a rematch within 12 months at this point.
Well, let's add one dynamic to this, too. Let's go back to what Eddie Alvarez said earlier that we played. This is the most money that Jose Aldo is going to make, any fight against Conor McGregor. So not only are you telling him he's got to give up his title opportunity at this point, and that's what he's giving up, the title opportunity. I don't care if he still wins the fight against Max Holloway. He's giving it up at this point. You're also asking him to give up what is a top five payday in the UFC, guaranteed.
Sure.
Guaranteed. That's going to be one. You put Conor McGregor on the card, you're going to get a top five payday. That's one of the deals that happens when you're in a fight like that. So you're asking him to fight Max Holloway. Where do they put that fight? You're on the undercard at best somewhere.
You're Fight Pass,
if you're
right?
Headlining anything, you're on FS1 or you might be on Fox because they might need a championship fight on a Fox card. But you're giving up a lot of money.
Well, but this fight was for New York, so he would have been on Fight Pass.
Oh, this is where that was going to land. So that's interesting, too. I have no issue at all with a guy like Conor McGregor holding both belts.
Sure.
I have an issue with the fact that he hasn't defended one in a long, long time. It's getting to the point I can't remember off the top of my head any longer. And I used to, you know, it's been since July of last year, right?
No, he fought Aldo in, I believe, November of 15. That's why it'll be 12 months.
Okay.
Since that belt has been defended in the UFC, when the champion has fought at this point four times.
And it's not an injury keeping him out. It's the fact that he's making the UFC more money than they would make any other way. More money than they would make if Conor kept defending that belt. Let's be clear. Conor defending that belt at this point would make UFC less money than every other fight he's had. So business-wise, I don't blame them at all. You've got a situation where it was December of last year, so nearly a year. You've got a situation where your champion hasn't defended his belt, but at this point he's going to have fought three separate times before he has to defend that title. I do think you let Conor keep both belts, because you know what? He's going to make you a lot more money. Problem with Conor keeping both belts is the next time he's got to defend one, it's 145. And God forbid you lose that lower weight belt before you lose the upper weight belt. That's why why Vince McMahon always makes the Intercontinental Champion give that title up if he beats the champion.
Yeah, right.
The Ultimate Warrior had to give up his title after winning both.
To be fair, the Ultimate Warrior used to give it away at airports. So
yeah.
In most cases, he didn't actually have the Intercontinental Championship belt.
I feel like if anybody in the UFC were going to give his belt away at airports, it'd be Conor McGregor.
It would totally be Conor McGregor.
So that could be a very
scenario,
fair comparison.
Your scenario becomes nightmarish when you think about the Shark Tank that is lightweight.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, do any of those guys want to wait a year to fight Conor McGregor for the lightweight belt?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think the answer is no.
I'll give you that. I don't want to suppose.
So, yeah, him holding both and then just arbitrarily deciding. Look, if you have the power to do that, totally. But my point with Jose Aldo is when you don't have the power to do that and you're miserable, go play soccer. Go run for office. Go do whatever you want. They're not going to let you go to Ryzen, so stop talking to Vanderlei Silva. That's not going to be a thing.
Okay.
They're not going to let you go to Bellator. You're Jose Aldo. So your choices are you can go do something else, and I think you should if you're this miserable, but that something else is not going to be fighting.
Now, here's the thing I think you do. And again, I think this is all negotiation. I don't think you want to be on that New York card, on the under card.
No.
Defending an interim belt and basically taking his – that's – you know, I love that the UFC has created their own money in the bank title for these guys, which is always these interim belts.
Right.
So he's got to put his money in the bank on the line and then defend his interim title. That's stupid. If you're negotiating for another fight with Conor, Conor wins this fight, Conor's going to be ready to fight in 6 to 8 weeks. Conor wants to make a lot of money right now as quickly as he can. You probably got that fight coming up. That's where the UFC has to decide, okay, are we going to let Conor keep both belts? Because if we do, although I've said this before, I don't know how the next fight can't be for the 145 title, and then the next fight's never for the 145 title.
Well, and if you listen to Jose Aldo, he claims that this fight was actually supposed to be GSP and Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to give GSP $10 million to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll wrap this real quick.
Do we have to? I'd rather just do this.
Well, no, I want to wrap this thing on Jose Aldo because I want to get to the GSP thing, I think. So, Jose Aldo, what do you say go play soccer, go do something else?
And I'm not being glib about going to play soccer. I just know he was really, really good at soccer, and that might be an alternative
for
him.
It's the world's game.
I'm saying, like, they're not going to let you out of your contract to go fight someplace else. So if you want to leave, and if I was treated like this at a job, I would probably want to leave, too. You need to go do something else, whatever that is. But, yeah, I agree with him. If he's wants out, he should get out. But if you retire, you've got to be done. We're not going to Ryzen. Like, I don't think the UFC has any obligation to let you go to Bellator or Ryzen or World Series of Fighting or Cage Rage, if that still exists, or whatever.
Yeah, they all exist. I mean, they're all there. I mean, it's they're always options, but they won't be options for him for years if that's a possibility.
Sure.
He's
the interim champion, right? They're not going to let him go.
Take the belt, go take a break, wait until after November. And everybody take a breath and we'll figure it out. Because remember, McGregor wasn't going to be on this card. Eddie Alvarez wasn't going to be on this card as of what? 7 days ago.
Yes.
Things change very, very quickly. Things people say in press conferences.
So get in shape, son.
And interviews, yeah. Stay in shape. Let November come and go, and then let's figure out what's going on. Now, one of the things going on, too, apparently, was the fact that GSP, who we had talked a lot about with this Tyrone Woodley fight, because I really wanted to see that fight.
Yeah.
I feel like the UFC copped out of that fight when it seems to have been set up for
them. Wonder Boy's a friend of the show.
I love Wonder Boy, but you got the former champ coming back. But what's really interesting is we're now hearing something that I don't know how I didn't even think of this. I don't know if you thought of this. GSP was actually trying to negotiate a fight with Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor.
Of course he was.
Yeah, that's what I said. Did you know this or did you just think?
No, I didn't know until I read the thing. But then I went, of course we didn't get the Woodley fight.
I
can make $500,000 fighting Tyron Woodley, who will probably beat me. Or I can make $10 million to fight an Irish guy who yells a lot.
Do you?
Wolf tickets.
Are you angry at the UFC for not making this fight, if the fight was there? This would have solved, by the way, our championship belt problem we just talked about. Because there would have been no belt on the line here. He would have just been fighting one of the top fighters in the past decade.
Dude, if he beats, could you imagine dealing with that ego if he beat GSP and Nate Diaz within a month?
Who cares? You still got, you still don't have your belt problem at that point.
He would just go take them from people at night, I think.
So, you know what? I'm going to say, even if this number is true, this $10 million number, I am very upset that the UFC didn't make this fight happen. We all know, and again, I've always been the guy that says, look, I get why you're mad about fighter pay, but let's really think about guys 30 down on the roster and what they're actually worth. The fact that they're getting 10-10 is pretty damn good. You talk, what are those organizations you named off earlier? Cage Rage,
right.
Reason, Bellator. Trust me, those lower guys aren't getting 10-10.
No, they're maybe getting 3-3.
They're getting 500-500 if you're in Cage Rage.
Well, yes, for sure.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, Cage Rage is for sure.
And they're not bringing a single dollar to the table. They're just filling out a card. So again, I've been a guy that says in the past, UFC is probably pretty good with their pay scale. I don't have a lot of problems with it. I know there was a lot of talk this past week because some writers wanted to compare this to the NBA and the NFL and their revenue shares and those things like that, which I don't think is necessarily a fair comparison because you've got NFL teams worth $1.5, $2 billion.
Yeah.
Teams, not the NFL, teams worth that much. And this, obviously, the valuation's at $4.2 billion from the recent sale. That all being said, I really think the UFC dropped the ball if it was only going to cost $10 million to put this fight on. I'm sorry, it would have probably cost 20. Would have probably cost 20. You got to give
15, 20, right?
Yeah, 20 each or 10 each, and then whatever the win is and whatever is undisclosed. Are you kidding me? How much would this fight have made for the UFC? GSP, Conor McGregor headlining in New York City.
It would have been huge.
I think this would have arguably been one of the biggest fights of all time. And again, maybe they don't think GSP is worth it. GSP is that guy who crossed the barrier back before the $4.2 billion valuation. But he was that guy who was one of those go-to guys. It was him and it was Anderson Silva for a long time. That was making the UFC their money in those pay-per-views. I really think that this wasn't an overpriced fight. And I'll say to a lot of fighters that they're thinking they're going to get a lot more than they're actually worth. I think if you want to talk about two guys worth $10 million apiece, worth putting a $20 million fight on. And by the way, as much as you love the stacked card, you put that on the card, guess what? You get to save Woodley Thompson. You get to save Johanna Jędrzejczyk. You get to save Miesha Tate. You get to save Donald Cerrone. You get to save Khabib Nurmagomedov for another card. So not only are you making as much, if not a lot more, than 205 is going to do at this point, you save all these marquee matchups, including your champion Eddie Alvarez for whatever other fight you want, even if it's Conor in the future.
Right.
You still have all that money in the pot, so to speak, that you can make with those fighters if you put GSP and Conor McGregor against each other. That's a single fight pay-per-view that would make a lot of sense, that would have made everybody a lot of money. And, man, the curiosity factor for me is through the roof, and I'm really upset that we don't have that fight now that I hear that it was possibly an option.
But we haven't heard that from GSP. We're only hearing it from Aldo.
That's Jose Aldo, who's always negotiating. But this makes a lot more sense now because I couldn't fathom why the UFC was driving by GSP for this Tyron Woodley fight.
Driving by.
I mean, look, I get it.
See you, George.
I get it. The MMA purists love this and they think the UFC is now on their side. Come on. UFC's got to make money.
No, because like 3 weeks from now, they're going to sacrifice BJ Penn to Ricardo Lamas. So they're not on your side.
This is not something where finally, we've had to come to Jesus and we're really going to pay attention to these rankings. This is not that.
Do we need to go back and read who does the rankings? Because now that I can make fun of it.
Oh, now that you can, because it's not you and your friends anymore? Did you disown all of them?
They got some people from actual MMA outlets in here now.
Well, I'm not discrediting the rankings with this train of thought.
I would question Grant Gordon from the Burbank Leader, maybe.
Oh, how do you know? That guy might be super in MMA. You don't know that, Jesus.
No? Okay.
You work for a newspaper.
Shout out to Grant Gordon.
He might be in your company. Do you even know that? Did you check that before you start making these willy-nilly comments?
I can tell you that Burbank Leader is not part of our fleet.
Are you sure?
Positive.
I'm going to look that up in moments here.
Please do. Yes.
So I'm really disappointed that we don't have a GSP fight on the books. If it's about money, I think the UFC deservedly can be criticized. Now, again, do you give GSP $10 million if he fights some nobody? Or he fights somebody in the middle of the division.
Would you give him $10 million for Woodley?
I don't think you give him $10 million for Woodley. But again, we just spent 15 minutes to start the show on one guy, essentially. And that was Conor McGregor. So there's nobody like Conor McGregor. That doesn't take anything away from any other fighter or anybody else's headlining ability. That's simply stating a fact. There's nobody else like this guy at this point in the UFC. There's nobody making them as much money in the UFC. They asked him during the presser, too. I don't have that clip ready. But somebody asked how much he thought he was worth. He looked at Dana White and said $4.2 billion,
yep,
which is the valuation of the UFC. I don't agree with that. But he's not too far off sometimes.
Well, and that, as a real quick aside, last night there was this story in Forbes talking about how many stars since the purchase now own part of the UFC because of the WMEIMG
mm-hmm.
being partners. So last night the full list came out, and it's really interesting when you talk about
Conor McGregor being worth $4.2 billion, I wonder if even at the height of Ronda Rousey, do you get The Weeknd, Adam Levine, Anthony Kiedis, Ben Affleck, Calvin Harris, Cam Newton, Conan O'Brien, Guy Fieri, Jimmy
Kimmel.
These are
all very famous people for those of you not following along with the names.
LL Cool J, Mark Wahlberg, Michael Bay, Rob Dyrdek, the Serena and Venus Williams, Sly Stallone, Tom Brady, Trey Parker, Tyler Perry. I mean, all of those people last night are now owners of the UFC.
Yes.
Now, these are all people that have been at the events on and off, who have all had opportunities if they wanted to invest in some way if they wanted to.
Which makes it really interesting when you see Jimmy Kimmel do a UFC bit now. Wonder, hey, yes. Wait a minute. You trying to get exposure for your portfolio, bro?
Right.
Come on, man. If there was anybody I trusted on TV, it was Jimmy Kimmel. And now I feel good. A little bit betrayed.
It's good to know.
Because I thought that Conor McGregor stuff was legit. So, by the way, our friends at the Burbank Leader, a proud member of the Tribune Company.
You mean Tronk?
Tronk. What's Tronk?
That's what they're called
now. Is that an industry term?
No, that's what they changed their name to so they could hide from Gannett.
Okay.
This just became a really weird show for MMA fans.
Right. There's some dude, though, into media that's also into MMA. Like, tell me more, guys! Dude, don't they own the Cubs? You love the Cubs, right? Does Tribune own the Cubs?
Not anymore. They don't even own the Tribune Tower anymore.
Okay. All right.
Because they're Tronk.
Well, so. Like sorry, Burbank Leader. I tried to help you out.
It's like a transformer for newspapers.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine. There you go.
There you go.
We can't all own part of Reddit.
That's very true. Or all of Reddit, really. Okay. So
some parts you don't want to claim.
Yes. We don't claim those parts. So this weekend we have an event. Will Brooks making his second appearance in the UFC against another cowboy, Alex Oliveira. We will talk to him here in a second. Other fights on the card. You obviously at the top of the card, you have Lineker and Dotson. A fight that we wanted to see at flyweight, we're now going to see at bantamweight. This is clearly one of the fights you want to see to understand who is going to fight Dominic Cruz next. Josh Berkman is on the card. Nate Marquardt is on the card. Hakran Diaz on the card. So while this starts at 7:15, and the main card doesn't start till 11.
11.
You have eight fights before you get to the four fight main card. It's a long night for a card that you probably don't care about all of these fights. There are some implications, and so it's
Here's this. There are going to be a lot of promos for UFC 205 during the event.
There's going to be a lot of Conor McGregor you can watch.
So there you go.
Starting at 7:15 on UFC Fight Pass, and then moving to Fox Sports 2 because they don't have any football apparently on Fox Sports 2 on Saturday night, and because they have football Fox Sports
1.
You're bumped to 11 o'clock.
If you're lucky.
If
we've already had one event this college football season that's been pushed where you had to try to dig through Fox Sports 2.
Fox 300 to find it.
Which for me, I have, but I know I didn't have it before with my last system, and it was way too. So, I mean, that's interesting too. And we'll get into some more of the business stuff later in the show, not this week, but another week. It'll be a slow week when Conor McGregor maybe isn't fighting for a couple months. But I really would like to see at some point them get to the point where, hey, this isn't on TV. If you've bumped us, put it on Fight Pass. There's another value proposition for Fight Pass.
For sure.
Hey, if it gets bumped, not everybody's got FS2. So we want to put it on Fight Pass. So it'd be nice to see them negotiate that in the future.
All right. We talked to Will Brooks. He is fighting Alex Oliveira this weekend. And the first question I asked him was about signing the UFC contract and taking us back about a month and a half from now to when he signs the contract and what was going through his mind at that moment.
I had a very short period of enjoying myself and celebrating the signing of the contract and the negotiation, all that stuff coming together and finally getting it done, and flipped the switch and went right into fight mode. So.
And you turn around, you take on Ross Pearson, you beat Ross Pearson, and here you are, Alex Oliveira. You are taking him on this weekend in Portland, and then, 5 days later, it's your birthday, right?
Yeah, man, it's pretty much the same scenario with Ross Pearson. I took Ross Pearson, took that fight, and the next week I got married. So it's, I got this thing going where I like to fight a week before special occasions.
So can we expect to see you on the New Year's Eve card then, since it's right around a holiday?
Oh, yeah, no, man, no, not at all, man. I think I'm going to slow it down a little bit. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I can't say never, you know. If I come out of this fight healthy and clean, you know, I'm like, you know, you never know what'll happen.
So let's talk about this fight. Alex Oliveira is huge for the weight class. What do you expect going into this? You know, what are you looking for him to do, and what can fans expect to see out of this fight on Saturday night?
I think fans can expect the same thing that they always see, is a Will Brooks that just goes out there and wins, a guy that just knows how to adapt to every single fighter, and just a guy that knows how to win in every aspect of mixed martial arts. Alex Oliveira is a very tough, talented fighter. But, you know, I think he's a guy that just gets out there just to fight. He's fighting just to fight. He doesn't have a real direction on where he's going. He doesn't know how to adapt to fights. He doesn't know how to be in tough positions and dig his way out and figure out a way out. And, you know, this is a problem when you're facing a guy like myself who's always focused and adapting and learning as the fight goes on and getting better as the fight goes on, you know. So I expect to go out there and have a tough fight with Alex, but I expect to come out of there with a dominating victory.
And so, Will, you know, we're in a unique position in that I get to talk to a fighter at his second fight in the UFC coming out of another organization. And so I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to ask this question. Are there differences in how you prep for a UFC fight? Like, is the caliber of fighter that much different, or is it all pretty much the same?
It's all the same, man. Fighting is fighting, regardless of where you're at, what are you doing. The stage, the stage may be bigger. The media attention may be different. The access that fans have to you is different. Where you're going to be broadcast as far as sports, Fox Sports 1, UFC Fight Pass, or on Fox, or on Fox Network, whatever. These are different opportunities presented, but we also have to remember that at the end of the day, fighting is fighting, you know. You can lose at the end of the day. You can win or lose, so that's it. It's still based on that human being to go out there, put the time in the gym, and then turn around and go out there and be in the octagon and compete. So for me, it's just been work as usual. No, I haven't changed the way I operated my training camps. My coaches know what type of person I am. They know my routine. I know my routine. There's no reason for me to ever change my routine based on the promotion. I change my routine based on how I'm feeling and based on a little bit based on who I'm fighting. So that's the way I operate, you know.
Will Brooks joining us. He'll be fighting this weekend against Alex Oliveira. And you have you've already sort of shot off who you like to fight next. You want to talk a little bit about why you want to fight Michael Johnson?
Yeah, man. I mean, just his character, when he carried himself after competing the other weekend, you know. I'll be honest, man. It's one of those things where I feel like guys are getting overly disrespectful in this sport, you know. If you want to talk trash and do all your stuff prior to the fight because you want to get people to pay attention to your fight, then go ahead. You do that, right? You build up the fight. You want people to watch your fight. But win or lose, you show humility. You be humble with victory or defeat. And I felt like the way he taunted Dustin after winning that fight and did all this extra stuff and standing over someone and cursing them out and all that stuff, this is unprofessional, you know. It's not something that you do, and I'm just frustrated. I'm over guys doing it, and, you know, it just kind of worked in my benefit that a guy in my weight class did it, and he's giving me an opportunity to come after him because I've been waiting for somebody in my weight class to do some dumb stuff like that so I can go after him, because somebody needs to let guys know, and somebody needs to start teaching these guys humility. And, look, what's a better way of doing that than putting somebody in the octagon, beating them down, and then walking away and being humble? That's the best example that you can set for everybody. So that's what I'm going to do, man. And I'm going to hunt for it. And plus, he's up there. I want to fight everybody in the lightweight division. I want to fight everybody that'll get me to a title. So he's up there right now, and I'll go looking for him. I know he's scheduled to fight Khabib now. So, you know, I might even have to look at it as a business standpoint now, where it's like, shoot, I might just take the winner of that fight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If he wins that fight, then even better for me, you know? So, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to, one, it's a personal thing, and two, it's a business plan too, you know?
For sure. Will Brooks joining us. I know you got 100 of these. So before you go, as a former, a Chicago guy to another Chicago guy, do the Bears have a shot this weekend or what?
Man, I don't want to talk about it. No, man, they bummed me out so bad, man. Like, they have so many talented fighters. They have so many pieces around. Or not, I'm sorry, I said fighters. I'm locked in the fight week now.
Right, sure, yeah.
They got a bunch of talented pieces around them, a bunch of talented players, but they just can't put it together. I think it's one of those things where, we suffer tons of injuries, which blows my mind. We're always stricken with the injury bug, and then you know, I just feel like the coaching staff aren't, they're not on the same page with each other, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm always going to be rooting for them, but you're still in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, God, you know, so...
Yeah, but it could always be worse. You could be from Detroit, right? Will Brooks joining us this weekend. Huge fight against Alex Oliveira. Dude, we are so excited about this. Excited to have you in the UFC. Cannot wait to talk to you again. Have a wonderful weekend. Can't wait to see your hand raised on Saturday night.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right, and Will Brooks fighting this weekend on Fox Sports 1. Main card kicks off supposedly at 11. You can catch him as he takes on
The card kicks off. It's just whether or not football game's over that we get to see it.
Whether or not you get to see it. You can follow along with everything this weekend, though, on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. And by everything, I mean anything that we want to talk about that has to do with Conor McGregor between now and November 12th.
Yeah.
It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show.